This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
I want to see big man be big man. SGA, get the ball, do work, clear it out. Do what you do. You wore the mustard color sneakers. Make the mustard colors work. You got on the mustards. Make them work. Come on, man. Play ball. God. Sorry, Ernie. Sorry.
Wait, all right. Want to play?
Yeah.
I agree.
You work all year to be an all-star, and you get to play up to 40, and then you're done. This is so unfair to Victor Wembanyama, who just took this game really seriously. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just took this game really seriously. Come on, what are we doing? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, scale of 1 to 10, your thoughts of the format?
10 being the best.
Yes.
A 0. Sucks. Same basketball.
Ah, yes, that's the theme to so many of us not watching NBA's All-Star Sunday.
A delicious fusion.
It really is.
Is what that is.
I like delicious fusion myself.
I bet you do.
I really do. I really do. Like a nice a Korean kosher fusion. It's delicious.
Now, let me ask you this about fusion foods.
They're very church lady.
I know. Yeah, it was right very church lady, which is actually appropriate for some of the stuff
that
we're
talking
about.
Go ahead, ask me about fusion foods.
Yeah, if you're fusing foods together, does that mean that they're not doing one particular food well enough? Like you're not focused on one form of food when you fuse it?
No.
I think fusing is just a fancy thing that restaurants do to make them sound cool. And it works.
I think they're trying to break new ground and show you some of the possibilities.
Okay.
It's just like it's like jazz fusion.
Okay.
The idea was jazz and funk together hanging out. Okay. You know?
Have you heard of Rosemary, the very popular restaurant Rosemary?
Never heard of it. Nope.
That's a fusion between Italian and Croatian.
Okay.
A soon to be Michelin star restaurant, in my opinion, Zuko, is a fusion between Mexican and French.
Okay, so they took it and they successfully fused it. They said, here's this, let's fuse it. Now let's serve it.
Zuko is not Joko with the K, or the X,
or Juco.
No. Or Juco.
It's a T-Z-U-C-O.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
What about Jinko?
Ginkgo?
Jinko, yeah. Oh, those are the jeans I'm wearing. Sorry, yeah. But what about, one of my favorite spots on the South Side, Kimski, Polish, Korean fusion?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Or even just a bar restaurant like Flo and Santos with the Polish and Italian
fusion. Well, I'm just going to say it. I have been successfully shot down. This group loves to fuse. Fusion has happened, and fusion has been successful. It always sounds cool. I've always wondered about the credibility of the fusion.
Well, you know, either way, that's not why you called. You called to talk about the NBA All-Star format.
Oh, yes.
What a disaster that apparently was. I skipped the entire thing, and I'm okay with that. As a sports talk show host, yes, I was off yesterday. But also, I have loved All-Star games my whole life. I really do. Like, I love the MLB All-Star game. I've historically loved the NBA All-Star game because the game lends itself to the possibility of really good competition because it's a pickup game. And we all know that good pickup basketball games exist. I realize that it's been in decay, but there are enough good memories from NBA All-Star games past where people played like they cared, even if it was just the fourth quarter, for me to know that it's possible and it's there on the table. Last year, I know, was a debacle. But this idea and what they did, and then everything I've now heard from everyone about the pace of it, all these delays, the Kevin Hart delays, and the delays as they like tried to work things out with the format. There's like a 20-minute delay before the final game.
Well, the Kevin Hart thing was, to me, was kind of a disaster, actually. So, yes, they start the final game, which I did watch. As far as my watching is concerned, I did decide, okay, because I was flipping to it. I was like, okay, they're coming to the final game. Let's see if there's something to this game. And by the way, it was a dud of a game.
It wasn't really a game. It was like...
Yeah, first to 40, I think it is.
It was like three different games, and they weren't really it wasn't even like a full game, and they like tried to make it all about Shaq and Kenny and Chuck.
Right. I think the whole, like, we try to figure this out every single year about every single All-Star game. Here's what I'll just say about the NBA All-Star game. It's just a spectacle. That's what it's turned into, and I think that's the way you should view it, where the stuff around the All-Star game, the guys who make the team, what's Barkley talking about, what's Ernie Johnson, and what's he setting the guys up with, it's become, I think, more than any other All-Star game, the NBA is a spectacle. So I think that you just have to kind of reassociate the way you watch it or take it in or not take it in at all.
Yeah.
But when that final game came on, they took a timeout, like a natural TV timeout, or maybe somebody called the timeout. I have no idea. They then come back in the telecast. Kevin Hart then does this whole bit with the TNT crew about how, making a joke out of how they're leaving, basically. And so he brought out fishing gear. He was putting hats and, you know, fishing poles to all the guys. And these guys are all emotional about it. And so it was this awkward moment where all those guys are sitting there all awkward with their ridiculous outfits on. And then finally Ernie said something, and it was all sentimental. Nobody was laughing about what was going on. So it was, I don't know if these guys knew that this was going to happen, or if it was just an inappropriate bit that Kevin Hart pulled on the TNT guys.
Wow. I think it's probably just an inappropriate bit. But even just the fact that Kevin Hart is doing that and they're making it about those guys, I was thrilled with my choice. And I say this as a guy who really enjoys All-Star games. I hope they go just to USA versus the world.
That would be interesting.
They should absolutely do that. The NHL did that at one point. NHL did that at one point. And the fact that there's players bringing it up, like, oh, that's a good idea. All right, well, then give that a shot next year.
Because I don't think either side would want to lose that.
I mean, maybe.
For a while.
You'd at least have them caring a little bit in that way.
Maybe as a one-off. Like, just try it.
But I was thrilled with my decision to not watch a drop of it. And then I was locked and loaded for 3 hours of the Saturday Night Live 50. The wife watched it with me. Ruben watched some of it with me until he chose to bail, and that's fine. But I loved watching that thing and just basking in that. That felt so much more healthy for my soul, frankly, to watch that than to invest time in the NBA All-Star game. I mean, because, Grody, among other things, you had Eddie Murphy do an actual shtick.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it wasn't just Eddie like he did 10 years ago. Oh, is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? Oh, he is going to be there. And he just says a few words. Now, like, you got Eddie doing sketches. He did Tracy Morgan during Black Jeopardy, for God's sake.
And look at this. Tracy Morgan. Big dog going to make some big money. Minute, Tracy, don't you already have a lot of money?
Well, you gotta have a lot of money if you're gonna live like I live. I eat 4 cheese lasagna. If it only got 3 cheeses, I ain't eating it.
Yes, okay. We hear you, Tracy Morgan.
I refuse to ingest 3 cheeses.
4 cheeses. You're right. 4 cheeses. We got it.
man, just to see Eddie happy and back in the flow of actually being involved in that stuff did the heart good.
Especially after, I guess it would have been the 40th anniversary that SNL did, because they did a whole big thing then too. And I don't think Eddie Murphy did like an awkward thing at the end of the show with Chris Rock, and it left it like a lot me, because I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan too, left me very unsatisfied. So it was nice to see that. I think he got into there's that Kate McKinnon weird skit where she's they're like the UFOs or
where
something.
She gets, abducted by the UFOs.
Abducted by the UFOs. That one, yeah. Yes, he was part of that one as well. Mm-hmm. So that, I was thinking about you a little bit though, watching that, because of all the musical prowess that goes on and the opening, the cold open.
Paul Simon and Sabrina Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. which was very cool. I mean, I felt bad watching Paul Simon because he's so old.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah,
there was a lot of hard times watching old folks fight their way through.
I thought, well, like, was that good or bad for the show though? Like, was it good because of the sentimental value and bringing it full circle to Paul Simon?
It was honest.
Yeah.
It was honest too. Like, these are the people that are left. Some of them are you know, have felt the ravage of time, but they're still there doing it, as Lauren Michaels is.
You can't not include Paul Simon, the first ever musical guest to host also.
Yeah.
You can't not. He's been there since day one.
How good did Steve Martin sound? When he said he's 79, I'm like, what?
Yeah, he's just bragging
outrageous.
At that point.
Absolutely outrageous that he sounded that good. Eddie got in towards the end. It was like it was the scared straight thing.
Oh, that was one of my favorite moments of the night, because like that's how I love SNL, and I remember my first memories were seeing Eddie do James Brown and Buckwheat. So like that was like my gateway to SNL, and like to see him and Will Ferrell, those are the one and two, the greatest cast members in the show's history.
See them in a sketch together,
and then Will gets Eddie to break, which is like what you were saying, Speak, is like not only Eddie being a part of it, but having fun while doing it. It was so awesome.
Better keep your damn mouth shut, because in prison you're not gonna be named Elf. You're not gonna be an elf named Buddy. You're not.
No.
You're gonna get elfed in your butt, Gene. I'm trying.
No, you're doing good.
That's right. And forget about your North Pole. What you're gonna need to be worrying about is your South Pole. Because you'll be yelling son of a nutcracker, all right?
I mean, that bit had like active guys from the new cast. It had Jason Sudeikis from his era as the cop. Then it had Keenan, and then Eddie Murphy and Will Ferrell. So you got like six different eras kind of all connected there together.
Yeah, and Eddie Murphy too. I believe that was a skit where he had the half shaved hair, and
I don't do anything halfway.
They call him All the Way Mike or something.
All the way Ray.
All the way Ray.
Yeah, All the way Ray. I don't do anything halfway. And he's got the half hair up.
Man. You know what was low key? I thought maybe I'd have to go back and watch the tape, but the Debbie Downer with Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, Chicago's own Rachel Dratch.
She is a Chicagoan.
Well,
yes.
At least Second City.
Some have come through Second City.
Mm-hmm.
But the laughs that they were, and I know it's like so easy because they bring the close up and they play the music, so it's just it's funny. Very base.
Yeah.
But I thought that skit was getting the biggest laughs of the night.
It was.
Yeah.
And the callback to when she made Jimmy break years ago, the same joke. Oh, guess what? I can't have children. And like that was the joke that made Jimmy Fallon break on camera years ago. So they called back to that, and then I think the misstep in that sketch was to not have someone come out and doing Trump in front of De Niro, like as a surprise.
Oh my God.
Like, that's what I would have done.
Alec Baldwin's in the building. Alec Baldwin's right there for you.
Right there. Yeah, they didn't do really presidents, or did they do a montage of politics at all?
No.
I think they had Chevy Chase's Jimmy Carter like during like the pratfall.
Gerald Ford.
During the pratfall sketch.
That was
like
about
the montage
it.
Of those, yeah.
Yeah.
But the sleeper in that bar one with Debbie Downer is Io Edebiri, after just two seasons of The Bear, is involved in that sketch.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, some king-making
stuff.
Quite
the blow-up for her.
Yeah, no, I absolutely true. I thought, I thought Meryl Streep as Kate McKinnon's mother in the Abducted by Aliens thing. I don't know if Meryl Streep's ever been in a skit.
No, never. SNL, that blew my mind.
Right.
And it showed. She botched a couple of her lines.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It still worked.
Well.
I just bust out, and I just kicked those little... I just kicked those little pervs away.
Wow, you are a good mama.
Yeah. Well, a good mother can also be a bad girl. What's your name, Mustache?
Okay, can we not do any of that right now, please?
One of my biggest issues, though, was the absence of Bill Hader. And apparently there's a little rift there between him and Lorne.
Not
because
surprising.
He doesn't believe that Lorne treated his anxiety with enough respect when he had it, both when he was doing 30 Rock and SNL.
Wow.
But that means we didn't get Stefan.
We didn't get Stefan at all.
We didn't get What's Up With That with Keenan and Jason Sudeikis and Bill Hader as Lindsey Buckingham, where they go to Lindsey Buckingham at
they
the
still
end.
They still couldn't have done What's Up With
Fred
This.
Fred Armisen with the sax.
You can't do What's Up With That without throwing to Lindsey Buckingham.
Really?
At the
end. Yeah, you're probably right.
I didn't even register to me that there was no Hader, but
no
now that you
Hader.
Say that, that's a huge miss.
I wondered, Shane, like when I was watching that, and then Andy Samberg comes on with the anxiety short that he did. I wonder if that was like an indirect, like tip of the cap salute to Bill Hader. Certainly not maybe directly to him, but certainly
an homage a little bit.
Yeah. Adam Sandler
had a long-standing scheduling conflict, but that's not the case.
Adam Sandler had his own little roast of SNL in the song that he did. Like it was real and talking about anxiety a little bit and talking about writers writing the cold opening. 20 seconds before they go on
Jim
the
Downey,
air.
Yeah.
Jim Downey. Yeah.
And Sandler talking about like different cast members, giving them some love.
Yes,
like,
that was very nice.
Yeah, Sandler had a great moment, I thought.
Yeah.
3 years of Melanie Hutsell, Michael McKean crushed it in two. One of Billy Crystal, six of Dennis Miller, eight of Hartman the Glue. 7 years of Tratchin Wig. 5 years of Terry and Quinn, 4 of Kazurinsky and Klingon, 11 of Armisen, 14 years of Davis and Handy, Schiller and Spiegel at 25, 18 of Audrey Dickman and Davy Wilson, plus Among and Disco and Bobby Van Rye, 30 years of Downey, 45 years of Lorne, 6 years of our boy Farley, 5 of our buddy Norm.
Man, I don't know if I would have pegged Sandler to like age into this sentimental softy with like this kind of loving heart. But my goodness, he's doing it with grace. Like that was beautiful and got a total standing ovation. Jack Nicholson shows up for him, his buddy from Anger Management, to introduce him. Like that was like
good to see Jack too.
Yeah, it was. That was a super warm moment.
Well, it's come full circle for Adam Sandler because he famously was fired from SNL, and then it was 2 years ago or last year that he hosted for the first came back to SNL for the very first time, and he took some shots during that. Of course, that's what SNL does. They made fun of themselves. So it's been a full circle and like in a perfect spot for Adam Sandler to like be SNL again.
And Grody, I don't want to betray confidences here, but during the show thread, like you had mentioned that you weren't the hugest Sandler fan.
Correct.
Back in his era. I was not either.
Yeah.
Like I was more about some of the other guys and Phil Hartman and Mike Myers, but like to have him come back and have like the moment of the night and nail every tone and get the pitch exactly right, that was like big time right there.
Yeah. Amen, man. I see him a little bit differently after last night. And I don't like dislike Adam Sandler. It's just not my thing.
Yeah. I'm looking at an article about who missed it and why.
Yeah, like, Dana Carvey.
Carvey. I could not believe that.
Aykroyd. Aykroyd said he had prior commitments.
What was Carvey's reason? Because Carvey's, like, he was doing the, obviously,
SNL. He was stuck
SNL.
In the turtle suit from Master of Disguise. He couldn't get out of the turtle suit.
It's okay. Kind of wild because, like, Carvey and David Spade have that podcast about SNL. Like, yeah. They still have a reverence towards their time there. So that was
Fly
really surprising. Yeah.
David Spade, bad attitude, by the way, in that sketch.
No, that was the joke.
Funny. That was the bit.
It was funny, though.
Oh, it was funny.
He always has a bad attitude.
He goes back, he's like, I know how to read the room.
I got a feel for it.
I got a feel for it.
Yeah.
But like also having David Letterman in the crowd and not utilizing him whatsoever.
Right.
That would have been mega.
There was ridiculous people in the crowd that barely got utilized. By the way, Faye and Poehler are just so damn good at the crowd work, planted or not, and all that stuff with the. And I thought it was really funny that they're like, oh, Ryan Reynolds, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm good. Fine. What have you heard?
Bad room reader.
So anyway, that was a much better use of 3 hours of my life than anything having to do with the NBA's All-Star Sunday.
I have to ask you, Spiegel, what did you think of Miley Cyrus doing Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor? Actually written by Prince, right?
Oh, it's a Prince song. Yeah,
I believe it's
a
Prince song. What did you think of? I didn't know. Like, I love the song. I didn't know what to make of it because of the accompaniment. It was a weird sounding thing.
Yeah, it was Miley's band. Like, I don't know. That's like, that's a super soulful, badass song.
And it is.
I didn't think Miley was a great fit for
it. Yeah, I love the idea of doing it. Like, I thought it was really cool that they acknowledged Sinead O'Connor
it's such
in
a
that
great
regard.
And
Brittany Howard is a badass singer, and it was really cool to hear her, but her voice not... It should have been showcased more. Mm. And it's the same range as Miley, so it didn't really have that pop that I was expecting it to have.
Okay.
So, no, I wasn't loving that. And, like... And McCartney sounds older now. Like, there was a long time where McCartney sounded impossibly good, and that was not the case vocally. So that was a little hard at a couple times just for me. But, like, what are you going to do? The guy's, what is he, 81?
I'm looking right now.
Is he 82?
He is 82 years old.
I mean, the band sounded great. Abe Laborial Jr. on the drums is still one of the baddest asses. And that choice of doing the Abbey Road medley and ending with what essentially felt like a callback to Chris Farley. Like, is it true that
the love
you make is
yes,
love you take is equal to the love you make?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that is true, as a matter of fact. And to have those lyrics there and have it was beautiful.
And guess who else was on point? Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne was on point. Like, people said I had just heard a week ago that he's a terrible live performer, and that's why he couldn't get into the Super Bowl, that it was all Kendrick Lamar. I thought Lil Wayne sounded great.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Yeah,
you forget he's one of those guys. You forget how many hits he had.
He's like he's probably a top 20 MC of all time, right? Top 10, Danny? No,
and
yes,
I gotta say,
no?
I was a full on skip for the Lil Wayne segment until I saw after the fact that the Roots were up there with them.
Oh,
so I need to go back
like
and
Lil
rewatch.
Wayne?
No, I'm not a Lil Wayne fan.
Okay.
No.
That surprises me.
But yeah, the Roots were there, so it was worth watching. There's so much material. I've almost finished the SNL music.
Started that.
I mean, it's great, but then there's more, and then this concert. They did a concert on Friday night that is out there that you can watch that was apparently amazing, like reunited Nirvana with Post Malone lead or something.
It was a female lead singer, I believe, for Nirvana. I don't remember who, but I believe it was a female.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, this stuff that must be watched and must be taken in.
Yes.
It's Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. At some point, we got to touch on NBA All-Stars Saturday night just a little bit. We will get there. Jason Leisure at 4 o'clock on all things Bears. And then Nico Horner of the Cubs will join us at 4:25. Some big picture baseball stuff at 5 o'clock coming up. When we come back, a member of the White Sox speaks about the possibility of being traded, and I really think he should be. We'll see if it happens anytime soon. Next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Beagle and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Luis Robert Jr. back at the wall. Adios! La Pantera! On the prowl!
John Schriffen on the call. He is the play-by-play voice of the Chicago White Sox on the television. And Luis Robert, when he performs, is a very exciting player. We're going to talk about him in a matter of moments. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. A couple things to get to, though, real quick, just to clean up one thing. Grody, clarify,
yes,
for God's sakes, the Nirvana situation.
Yeah, a lot of texters are saying, and they are correct, to say, wrong, Grody. Yes, Post Malone was singing.
It's a newer type of situation.
And he did, and he was. And I remember.
He's small for three technique, in my opinion. Post Malone.
Blink-182. Travis Barker was drumming in the basement, and they Post Malone, yeah, that was during the pandemic, actually,
okay.
When Post Malone first put together his own little impromptu band and did a bunch of Nirvana songs that were unbelievable.
I gotta tell you, I'm more confused than I was before the segment began.
Me too.
So.
Okay, let's Travis Barker's in a basement now?
Okay, hold on. This is what I'm talking about.
So Post Malone did a Nirvana thing in the past, but he also did it this past Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Where he was with Dave Grohl.
Yeah,
right?
Okay,
and then what I wanted to say was that Violet Grohl...
Violet, you're turning Violet, Violet.
Also jumped in and did some lead singing
not
as
now.
Well.
Not right now, though. Not 3 days ago.
Not 3 days ago, but recently.
I think this the Kennedy happened. Center Honors. I think
was that what that was?
I believe so.
And I think the California wildfire thing. Like, and she's done it before.
Maybe it was that. Yeah, maybe it was Farm Aid.
She's done it before.
Yes. So everybody is right, in other words.
Okay.
Well, so, no, I think we're a lot more right than you were that whole time.
Did you guys see the Post Malone, Travis Barker, when they did the songs during the pandemic? You know what I'm talking about, at least.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
You were just off by
Wait,
4 years.
What's a pandemic?
We learned a lot.
I thought it was an endemic. It's never going away.
I thought it was a quad-demic.
Quad-demic?
Yeah. We're in the middle of a quad-demic.
Put them on the IR.
What?
All right.
Either way.
But anyway, everybody is stepping in for the Kurt Cobain, who is dead.
Thank you for clarifying.
Dead. D-E-D, dead. On to the White Sox.
Okay, wait. Well, there's one other thing we got to get to before we get to Luis Robert. The Cubs have announced that Shota Imanaga will be your opening day starter in Japan. Shota will get game one. Not a big surprise. We knew he was going to get one of the two games, but Shota gets the designation of opening day starter. We can add him in. Categories coming on Thursday. I've done Cubs opening day starters before as a category, but still pretty cool for Shota that he gets to join that kind of group.
Yeah, absolutely. So then how does the rest of it line up? You want to do it really quickly, Spiegel? Then it's got to be Justin Steele, right? Right?
Yeah, although I don't know if Steele is going to... Yeah, it depends when he's ready.
Okay.
Sure, yeah. It'll be Steele. It'll be Jameson Taillon. Then it'll be Matthew Boyd. Mm-hmm. And then five, I think it's going to be another lefty. No, I think it's going to be Jordan Wicks.
Okay.
Jordan Wicks.
I'm all for seeing what Jordan Wicks is all about. You know what I mean? It's a first-round pick, so I'm all for let's go for it, Jordan Wicks.
Yeah. So look, I think that's what it's going to be, but you know me. I hope they make a deal for a front-of-the-rotation starter between now and opening day.
Because you don't like Vladimir Guerrero, and the rest of the show does. No, that's not true. That's not what Spiegel said.
Speaking of trades between now and opening day, Luis Robert has arrived at White Sox camp and talked about the possibility of him being traded. Luis Robert, very much at trade rumors all offseason. Chris Getz clearly making it known that phone lines are open. Your dime, your dance floor. You want to talk about Luis Robert trades?
How you doing, everybody?
Various leaks along the way about all of that. But Luis Robert arrives and address the trade rumors at White Sox camp through the interpreter Billy Russo.
It is difficult to think that way, especially when you've been with an organization throughout your whole career, and knowing that there might come an end to that. But at the same time, you have to understand that this is a business, and there is not much that you can do about it.
So, not much you can do about it. Luis Robert does want to remain with the White Sox, says he needs to be smarter. And I saw that headline. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What does he want to be smarter about? And I'm thinking, is it strike zone management? Mm-hmm. Please tell me it's strike zone management.
Sliders?
Please. Wants to be smarter. Please tell me this is about sliders low and away. That's not what it's about.
Uh-huh.
It's about being a smart player, run when I need to run. Knowing the situation of the game, when is the best time for me to push it a little bit? Just doing that, being smarter.
Further evidence, this team was not managed. They were literally, nobody was managing anybody. Nothing that was going, nobody was coached. Nobody was managed.
Uh-huh.
It's like a Zach LaVine situation right now with Luis Robert. He's still here. Somehow he's still here.
Uh-huh.
So maybe show something and then get traded.
Still here.
Like Andrew Vaughn and Luis Robert, they are remnants from a different time. They represented a different hope, and they're still here. They're both still here.
The being smarter thing, Groats, is about trying to not get injured during the colder moments in Chicago.
Is this Eloy you're talking about?
Yes,
or?
It might as well be.
Where is Eloy?
No, things are going to work for Eloy in Tampa. We just know it on this side here.
Of course. Yeah.
They have a way of making things work.
I bet Eloy will put together a Jorge Soler type of career.
I'll take that bet.
Right?
I'll take that bet. That he will not.
Oh, he will not. You think he's cooked. He's done. He's just going to keep on being injured with wherever he goes. He won't have like some moment where he gets in the best shape of his life. No.
I'm done with those kind of predictions for Eloy.
But you guys definitely think that Eloy is going to be. Will Eloy Jimenez be an all-star?
No, he'll be a 2017 Jorge Soler.
You're not picking up on my sarcasm on this side. Yeah, no. If it wasn't going to work, if it didn't work in Baltimore for Eloy, I have my doubts.
I don't think it's going to work anywhere. I don't think his body will cooperate.
It's not going to happen.
And I think sadly, I mean, we're going to look back on those three contract extensions that were given to Moncada and Robert and Eloy, and they all seemed to make sense.
We all applauded them. We were all like, oh, that's smart. Look at Rick Hahn. Look what he's... Oh, so this is what Rick Hahn is all about.
And it's going to be a chicken or the egg conversation. Did they decide to pay guys with questionable work habits and questionable health routines, or did these guys develop into that under their watch because of the White Sox inability to provide infrastructure to them? And I don't know exactly the answer. I don't know them as people, but I know that the Atlanta Braves have given those kind of extensions to player after player after player. Michael Harris and Spencer Strider and so many others before they've really proven it big time on the big league level, and it's worked out there. So they either chose better, or did they also have more infrastructure available? This is a great question for somebody who knows both systems sometimes.
I'll tell you, I talked to somebody about Eloy a couple years ago, and the thing that he said to me was, I bet Eloy and Anthony Rendon would be really good friends. Eloy does not care about baseball.
Oh, man.
He probably did when he was younger. But Eloy doesn't care about baseball.
He's kind of fooled us all, too, with the
because
whole...
Because he's, like, cutesy and, yes. like, oh,
and happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, and that's great. A clubhouse needs that. But if you're going to be lazy, too, no.
How about that car ride with Chuck Garfine? Remember that? Yeah. Remember that whole thing?
Sure, I do.
Was it opening day?
Yeah.
Took a ride to the ball. Like, he's the friendliest, happiest, high-momming guy in the world.
Oh, God, the Anthony Rendon thing. I mean, that's a guy... Who, if he ever loved the game, he certainly stopped loving the game. And the danger of paying people like that. I mean, the antithesis is, you know, watching Jalen Johnson bust his ass just as hard after he got the enormous signing bonus as before, if not harder, coming back stronger, coming back feistier. It's just a different kind of mentality. And in baseball, it is notoriously difficult to tell.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of the game makes it hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, these are just the guys that are being somewhat transparent about it. Like, well, not Eloy. I don't think he has. Rendon has kind of played his cards that sports is not the most important thing in his life. Long way for me to say. There's tons of athletes that are in every single sport. They're not really that into their sport, and they're trying to make the money and get out when they can.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not rare. It's just rare when you could actually see through it.
But it really is a fascinating chicken or the egg conversation, because if you're going to give that deal, then you have to know the person as well as you possibly can, and you have to know that you've got the infrastructure and the teaching to help them develop good habits, and you've got the discipline and the culture to help them keep good habits, and the veterans on staff to help them do it. All of those things. You can't give the deal if you know yourself well enough to know you don't have that.
I also don't know Luis Robert, or I don't feel like I know enough about him through those who cover the White Sox. Like, I don't know how motivated Luis Robert is, how serious Luis Robert is, what he does. He looks like he's in great shape. He doesn't look like one of these guys that's slacking off.
No, he's in incredible shape.
Yeah, so all of that. But I don't know. Do you feel like you know Luis Robert? Do you feel like you know what? And the language barrier makes it difficult.
Of course.
No doubt about it. I feel like I don't know anything about that guy.
I will say he's obviously in incredible shape and has always been in incredible shape, and we all fell for that. And look, he's an incredible athlete.
He's had some great moments too.
But it's also the kind of thing where, like, should you be that big and strong and bulked up for a sport where your hamstrings are tested as often as they are tested and in the weather they are tested in?
Yeah.
That is a questionable approach to fitness in a baseball universe for an organization that could never figure it out.
Well, apparently nobody imposed their will then on Luis Robert. If that is an issue, if they need him to tone it down a little bit, then nobody has done that for him either, unless he's wholly rejected it, which comes down to, I don't know Luis Robert again.
Yeah.
I wish I knew him better.
All right, I have a story completely off the grid, off the conversation that we had. I haven't told this to anybody. I heard an amazing story about two dead sportscasting legends the other day, and I realized that I could share it. So I'm teasing you with that. Should I come back and do that? Should I just go ahead and do that?
I'm intrigued.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to talk about the White Sox, I guess. So I'm with that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. 312-644-6.
No, you did it. Nobody called.
That doesn't feel good either. not one person.
I don't know if I threw out the phone lines with this chicken or the egg conversation, which is a good one. I don't know if I did that.
I think I can hold on to this story.
Also, it's supposed to be a White Sox thing.
Yeah,
it's
supposed to be White Sox calls to see if we can get some calls.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean...
You hijacked the segment.
I was validating your opinion
that.
To switch.
That's a lovely
to
thing.
To me, this segment died on the vine when we came out the Robert highlight, and you guys were like, oh, Shota Imanaga is going to be the opening day starter.
Well,
that couldn't have waited.
Let's not forget about the Post Malone conversation.
I'd like to.
Yeah. I'd like to.
We're just passing along information in that.
Travis Barker, bro.
I'd really like to forget about that if I can. All right.
I am sorry. I wanted to clear something up.
A story about two broadcasting legends. It's just the truth, folks. I'm just going to share the truth. It casts one of them in a very good light, the other not so much. We'll do that next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Pat Tomasulo.
Well, look, I've had a good run.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you. Tribute to Cyrus would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey, wait a minute.
Afternoons on The Score.
So the other night, I'm hanging out over at Theater on the Lake, the beautiful spot where Tributosaurus plays sometimes. My buddy John Wren running that place over there. It's an incredible spot. Highly recommend. Yada, yada. We're there. We're playing a show, is Tributosaurus, and then we're hanging around after. And a guy who works there, who's become a good friend, lovely guy, Fernando, comes over. Every time we see him, I say, in the clearing stands Fernando, because you have to, right?
Oh, I was thinking of SNL. You look marvelous.
There
but go
you go.
Ahead.
Could do that. And also, when we see him, we all have Fernando mania. All of these things are true.
Oh, I can go there, too.
Yeah. So he said, and we're talking, and he's a baseball guy, and he says, hey, do you ever hear my Vin Scully story? I said, no, I never heard your Vin Scully story. And so I'm going to share Fernando's Vin Scully story.
Oh, good.
Okay. I didn't ask Fernando. I hope he's all right with that. I just tried to call him at the break. Shane, what do you think? I just go ahead.
I mean, this is your funeral
you guys ready
or
for this?
Party, Look, whichever one.
We're past the point of no return here, because if you don't tell this story, not only are we going to be upset, but you have millions of listeners.
Yeah,
out
like
there.
We talked about this with Ant
tens,
last week.
Tens.
Like, you can't just say I've got a story and
can't
then
do
not
it.
Fulfill.
Can't do it. Yeah, I'm going to have to do it now.
The three of us are now on the edge of our seats.
Yeah.
And there's some. Is it? Is who it, have ye?
And now I wonder, Grody, have we built it up too much? And now there's no way to be good.
Of course.
Like, is the New York Post going to write an article about us? And am I going to spend a week at home?
No, Ryan Glasspiegel will not be.
Okay.
Will not be getting all up in your business, as far as you know. So, Fernando had a buddy who worked for NBC in the '80s, and Fernando wanted to get into broadcasting. So he got in touch, and his buddy said, "You know, why don't you come down to the ballpark when the NBC game of the week is on the South Side, and you could do some work for us for the NBC game of the week." Turns out it was Jack Morris's no-hitter. That's pretty
wow.
good. That's pretty good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Me, I was home watching that one, and Fernando was there working. So he ends up doing stats for Vin Scully.
Hmm.
for like two or three times that summer. Whenever they would come to Chicago, he helped Vin Scully out just doing stats. What an incredible experience. You're a young kid. You get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
One of the times Vin Scully tells him, hey, would you go into the press box and go get me the printouts that are there in the press box? They didn't bring him to the booth for whatever reason. So, you know, the printout, the team roster, yeah, the notes of the day.
Packets. That kind
of.
Yes.
So he goes in there and he's got to walk there, but he has to go by somebody who's sitting there. And the person sitting there is Chicago broadcasting legend Chet Copping.
How you doing, everybody?
So, and this came up today. So I thought about it. And he says, oh, excuse me, Mr. Copping, I need to get by you to go get the stats. Chet says, no. No, I got to wait. Got to wait.
No.
He says, Mr. Copping, I'm trying to get these for Mr. Scully and the NBC booth. Whoa. And Chet says, you got to wait your turn. Got to wait your turn. So...
This is so plausible, if you know Chet.
So Fernando goes back, tells Vin Scully that he can't get the stuff for him. And Vin says, no problem. I understand. No problem. A couple minutes later, Vin goes out there. And of course, Chet allows Vin to do whatever he needs to do. So they go to dinner in the about an hour later, they go to dinner in the Bard's room there on the south side. Uh-huh. And Vin says, come on in, Fernando. And Fernando's in the Bard's room sitting there with Vin. And there's Chet at the next table. And Vin says, Fernando, come with me. And he walks Fernando over and says, Chet, how are you? Good to see you. You know my friend, Fernando. My friend who works with me. And Chet goes, oh, of course. Of course. Good to see you. How you doing?
Fernando, my friend.
Fernando, my friend.
Fernando Allen Johnson. How are you?
Big Rock Candy Mountain.
How about a Diet Coke, pal?
Good to see you. How are you? They shake hands. And Vin says, all right, good to see you, Chet. Just walks back to dinner with Fernando. And that's all that was said.
That's amazing.
Is that beautiful that and is, elegant by Vin Scully?
Poetic justice at its best, right?
Exquisite.
Yeah.
And isn't that like not a surprise at all, knowing what we know about both of those men?
So perfect.
And
it seemed like a happy ending for everybody involved. Even Chet was probably, I'm sure that's not the first time something like that has happened to Chet.
Well, I guess I got to wear that one.
That is fertilizer.
And then he had him on the show, probably. Let's go out and talk to him, man. I got to tell you, this guy, Matt Spiegel, discovered this guy along the lake a long time ago. Fernando Allen Jose. Give all the middle names. Chet used to give middle names.
Juan Uribe.
But just
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
The beautiful class of Vin to just be like, you know, that's not how you should treat people.
Have you met my friend here?
Oh, that's good.
There's a Farmer John's hot dog.
That's pretty good.
A tradition in this house for years.
I don't do that very often because Bernstein does it better.
I don't know.
You hit something there on that last part.
For years. Marty Barrett, the playing shortstop today. Remember, I don't know why Marty Barrett to me was a... You remember Marty Barrett?
Of course.
Yeah?
Marty Barrett. Hawk Harrelson once said he was the best at hitting high chopper one hoppers.
Tell you about Marty Barrett. Tell you what, Danny, don't put that in the book, though. I'm going to tell you right now.
He did. That's one of the ones that you never forget.
Marty Barrett, man. Yeah.
So, Brody, what would happen if Miska was Vin Scully's engineer and something was going wrong with his headphones?
Oh, I got a whole pack of them. No, just sit right there. Don't move. Don't move. What's the problem, pal? No, it's okay. It's going to be all right. You're going to be just fine.
Oh, he would have, because he lost his mind for Hall of Famer Pat Hughes. If it was Vin Scully, man. And for the record,
yes,
Miska was great. Like, because he would make sure he literally put a new hole in Pat Hughes' belt one day. Because he needed it. I'm going to have to throw away this belt here.
I'm like, Jesus, Dave.
Dave running down to the front row, just dusting me papers all over the place.
Yeah. You have a delightful audience of one with Shane Reardon for the Dave Miska.
And I love it.
I don't think so.
You keep it alive.
I disagree.
It's at least two.
Yeah. If it's two, it's a lot more, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
People like what we like, Speaks.
And it's a character, right? It's a character, you know?
God. Texture says, yep, that story was better than White Sox coverage. There you go.
No, that was a really good story.
Jason Leisure coming up next from the Chicago Sun-Times. Let's talk to him about all things Bears. Nico Horner next hour, too. Keep it here on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts, Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.